Lakuta Sicha is Chelik Yud Aleph, Sicha Tetzava Aleph. Very Gishmaka Sicha. It starts out as a Rashi Sicha. Explaining a Rashi, asking a bunch of questions, presenting a brand new approach to answer all of the questions. Then there is an Inyan in Halacha, and then there is an Inyan in Chassidus. So we get a little bit of everything, and it's all really on one word, one very short word. In the beginning of this week's parsha, the word zach or zoch. The parsha begins with the mitzvah of hadlakas neiros, or the mitzvah of bringing the shemen to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the pasuk says, "V'yata tetzaves bnei Yisrael." You, Moshe Rabbeinu, should command the yidden, "V'yikru elecha shemen zayizach." They should bring to you pure olive oil, clean olive oil, kassis, which is crushed, la'mo'er for the menorah, la'halis ner tamid, to be able to light the ner tamid, the ner every day. So Rashi, b'tchilas parasha seinu, ma'itek Rashi is ateves va'ata tetzave zoch. The beginning of the parasha, the very first Rashi in the parasha, Rashi quotes the words from the pasuk, va'ata tetzave zoch, u'mefarish, and translates, explains. What does it mean? It means b'lishmarim, without sediments. And he brings a raya from Menachis, from the Gemishnah in Menachis, where it says, "Megargerei bereish hazayis v'chulu." You pick the olives from the top of the olive tree, etc. Over there in the Mishnah says that you would go to the top of the tree and pick the olives, and then you would crush the olives, put them into a basket, a wicker basket that has cracks between the strips. And then the oil would drip out, because the olive was crushed, the oil would drip out from the basket into the keli that was underneath it, the vessel that was underneath it, and that was your olive oil that was used for the menorah. Since the olives themselves, and therefore the peels and the sediments, whatever would is not actually oil, would remain in the basket, all you have is the oil that drips out. So clearly, this oil does not have shmarim, does not have sediments, and this is Rashi's proof that the oil, that zoch was beli shmarim, the oil was zoch without any sediments. This is Rashi says. So Rashi says zoch means without sediments, and he brings a raya from the Gemara, from the Mishnah Menachos. So Rashi is, so the Sikh is now going to ask seven questions on this Rashi. Tiny little Rashi, little word. The first question is, what is the Chiddush of Rashi? Clearly, zach means clean or pure, and pure means nothing in it, including no sediments. So what is Rashi's chiddush? What is Rashi coming to tell us? Aleph. B'zesh Rashi nebefarash tevas zoch b'shebeposik. Shepirush naki v'kayetzibizeh, from the fact that Rashi does not translate the word zoch, saying that it means clean or something similar to that, ki merak mevayir ha'inyan, but he explains the idea that it means belishmarim, that it means without sediments, muchach, this implies the pidur zach yadua hu vein sarach la'aviyah, that the meaning of the word zach, the translation of the word zach, is known, and therefore is no reason for Rashi to tell it to us, elosha tzarech biur, but it needs explanation. Zach v'naki mima, what is it clean from, or clean of? So therefore Rashi explains that it means to exclude the sediments. Therefore, now that comes the question, it's not understood, Michael Maspel, on what's it coming to tell us? What's the Chiddush? That Naki, clean, means that there's no outside substance mixed in, including sediments. So if we know that Zach means clean, then that means that nothing is mixed in. Also, not shmarim mixed in. So then what's Rashi telling us? Question Beis. The Kamanu Parashas Kisisa, Nemar Leveino Zakov, Lepirish Rashi, Zakom Ima. In Parashas Kisisa, it says Leveino Zakov by the Keteris, one of the 11 Samamonim, was called Leveino Zakov, and it does not say Zakov from what? So if Zach needs an explanation over here, why does Zach not need an explanation there? And if it doesn't need an explanation over there, why does it need an explanation over here? Gimel, third question. Rashi meviraya lebiurei, k'meishas en yunu v'chulu. Rashi brings a proof from the Gemara in Menachos. Similar to question Aleph, where we said, what's the Chiddush? In question Gimel, we're asking, if it's not a Chiddush, why do we need a raya? Why do we need a proof that Naki means, that Zach means Belish Marim. The whole thing is not necessary in the first place, seemingly. And if it is necessary, for some reason, it's obvious. Why do I need a Raya? Dalit. The fourth question, if we're going to discuss a Raya, and we do need a Raya, the Raya from Menachis is questionable. Why? Ein darkish al-rashi lahavi rayas lepirushay, it is not the custom of Rashi to bring proofs in Pshutei Shel Mikra, in the basic understanding of the Pasuk, from a din, from the dinim that are part of the Halacha and Torah. Similar to the Rashi, the following Rashi to this one, on the word Kosis, where Rashi says, Azesim or Yukosish, that the Zesim were crushed in a crusher and then put into the basket. Then there were three harvests of olives, and there were three steps in each olive making process. The first was where it was crushed and it was placed into the basket. The second one, it was ground up. So Rashi continues, Vashemen Asheni Pasul Liminator, the second shemen that's ground up and would have sediments mixed in, so it's possible for the menorah, the kosher the menachis, but it's kosher for the mincha. The mincha also had to have shemen in it, so the shemen, the second shemen that was ground up in the rechaim, in the mill, is kosher for menachis. Shenemar, kosis lamo'er, as it says in the pasuk, our pasuk is kosis lamo'er, the loy kosis lamenachis, so we learn from this that kosis is for the mo'er, only the shemen that was used for the mo'er, for the menorah, for the luminary, had to be kosis, but for the menachis it didn't need to be kosis, so even if it was tachun, if it was ground, it's also kosher. So what we see is what's the raya that Rashi brings from the pasuk kasas lamoyer. The le'evi amokir l'din zem gemara b'kayetz beza didn't bring the makir from gemara because Rashi brings a raya in pshutei shel mikra from psukim or from other places, but not from halacha. This brings up the question in our case, even if you were to tell me that a raya is necessary to prove that shema needs to be without shmarim, what is the raya in pshutei shel mikra from something that is learned in a Mishnah or in the Gemara, which is a halacha with regards to how to make the oil? So, in other words, why is Rashi, or how is Rashi bringing a raya to Pshutei Shel Mikra from something that is halacha brought in the Gemara? The next question, is going to be that seemingly when Rashi brought us the raya, he sort of hinted to it, but didn't even explicitly tell us what the raya is. In other words, Rashi brings the words megargere b'reish hazayis, that you pick the olives from the top of the olive tree. What's the real raya that the olives was b'li shmarim? Was from the fact that it was crushed and not ground, from the fact that it was put into a basket, so the actual olives could not enter into the place where the oil was, and the oil dripped out. So the real raya is from v'kaitesh m'machteshes, which is what the Mishnah says further, that it was crushed. Nevertheless, Rashi says v'chulu. Megargir b'reish hazayis v'chulu. So the question is, why does Rashi bring the beginning, which isn't really a raya to what he's saying, the beginning of the Mishnah, and not the actual part of the Mishnah that is a more clear raya to what he's trying to say? Inside, Rashi might think v'menachas atevis megargir b'reish hazayis v'chulu. Rashi copies over quotes from the Mishnah Menachas the words megargir b'reish hazayis v'chulu. The raya that it's b'li shmarim is not really from the fact of where the olive comes from, but from the continuation of that Mishnah, where it says that you crush it and you put it into the basket. As Rashi himself brings in the following Dibra Maschil, Kosis, Hazesim or Yukosis Machteshas, Kosis means that the olives were crushed in a crusher. So there shouldn't be sediments there. Where Rashi brings down explicitly are the words that are not the main raya to his pirush. And the words that are the raya to Rashi's pirush are just hinted in a v'chulu. V'chulu is like etc. It's hinted in the etc. It's hinted in the fact that there's more words to it to this. But it's not. So why? Why can't Rashi bring the words explicitly? Question Vav. Lama maybe Rashi, but Birushay Gamamara Mokim. Kemeshus and Yinubi Menaches. Why does Rashi actually bring the reference, the source? That it was learned in Menaches, v'leikas of stam, k'moishas and yinu v'chulu, like we've learned in the past, that Rashi, if Rashi brings the mocker, there's an extra message, an extra teaching that Rashi is trying to imply with the mocker, with the source of where this came from. So what is Rashi teaching us with the mentioning the Gemara in Menaches? U'b'yayisir yuksha, this is especially difficult, shebepirushi v'parashas emir, in Parashas Emir, where it speaks also over there in Parashas Emir about the Shemen Zayizach, Rashi says there are three types of oils that come out of the olive. The first is called Zach. V'hein mifurashin b'minachis u'b'teras ke'anim. These three oils are explained in Menaches and in Teras Ke'anim. So Rashi in Emer brings two sources, Menaches and Teras Ke'anim. So over here, if Rashi is going to bring the source, he should bring both. And if Rashi is not bringing both, why did Rashi bring any at all? Question Zayin, the seventh and final question. Rashi, Maitik, Menakasov, Gamma, Tevis, Vata, Tetzava. Avshe, Eni, Mevayra, La, Teva, Zach. A very interesting phenomenon. Rashi brings the Dibra Maschil, Vata, Tetzava, Zach. So the words of Apostle, Vata, Tetzava, is Bnei Yisrael, Vikho, Elecha, Shem, and Zayin, Zach. So Rashi brings the words Vata, Tetzava. Period. Then skips over the next few words in the Pasuk, and then mentions the word Zach. Rashi only explains the word Zach, does not explain the words Va'at Tetzaveh. So therefore we must come to the conclusion. So Rashi ma'atikon, v'pnei shagam me'yem ichachot l'b'yurei b'lishmarim. The Rashi is bringing the words Va'at Tetzaveh, because in the words Va'at Tetzaveh is part of his proof that Zach means b'lishmarim without sediments. V'tzarech lovin, so we have to understand in one of two ways. Aleph, Maya, Ichacha, Minatevis, Vat Tetzave, Shashem, and Sarachlias, Blishmarim. What is the proof from the words Vat Tetzave that the oil has to be without sediments? Beis Uli Idach, conversely, Im Yesh Ichacha, Minakasuf, Ma Mesif Rashi, Baraya, Mesech, the Menaches. And if Vat Tetzave is the Raya, somehow, then what is Rashi adding on from Masech Menaches? Why does Rashi bring another raya from Masech Menaches if we already have the raya from the Pasuk V'ata Tetzava? So Eis Beis is going to bring the beer, the explanation. And basically, we're going to say that the Chiddush of Rashi is not that Zach means clean without sediments, but the discussion here is when the Pasuk says Zach, what is it referring to? Is Zach referring to the oil or the olive? Does the oil have to be pure and clean, or does the olive have to be pure and clean and of a good quality? And the question is, am I going to learn how it's mashma, how the pasuk sounds al pi pashtus, or do I have to learn it differently? Because of nemar shemen zayis zoch kosis lamoyer. The word the pasuk says olives oil from olives pure crushed for the menorah, for the luminary. V'hine tevas kosis museves al tevas zayis. The word kosis follows the word zayis, follows meaning it's referring to the word zayis. Hainu shazayis sarichli is kosis. That the olive has to be crushed. There's no other way to teach kosis. Well, if zeh kosher lefarish the teva zach ha'amura bein zayis lekosis museves al teva shemen amura lifneze. So it's very hard to say that the zach that goes in the middle between zayis and kosis is referring to the shemen. Because it said zayis, zach, kosis. The kosis goes to the zayis. It would be masma that also the zach goes to the zayis. That it should be zayis zach, a good zayis, kosis, that's crushed. If you wanted to say that zach goes on the shemen, have a little meimar shemen zayis kosis, zach, the oil that's from a crushed olive, that's pure. Number one, it has to be from a crushed olive. Zayis akosos b'machtesh kotush b'machteshes olives that were crushed in a crusher. And beizach. And the second thing about the oil is that it has to be pure or clean. But since the pasuk doesn't say that, it says shemen zayis zoch kosis, implies that the zoch goes on the zayis. So just in case it wasn't clear, the pasuk says shemen zayis zoch kosis lamoir. Kosis clearly is referring to the zayis. So zayis goes to kosis. Zoch is smack in the middle. So it's very hard to learn it any other way other than that zoch is going also on the zayis. And that's why it's in the middle between the word zayis and kosis. The other way to have written it would have been shemen zayis kosis zoch. Then we could say zoch goes on the shemen. In other words, to say it's difficult, but we can explain it, that first the Torah is writing about the oil, that number one, it should be from an olive, and number two, it should be pure, shemen zayis zach. And then it tells us the vehicle. How do I make the zayis to be zach? Through kosis, through crushing it. But that is a doichik, that is not an easy, simple way of understanding the pasuk. So therefore, if we go back to the simpler way of understanding the pasuk, had the pasuk wanted to say that the zoch goes on the shemen, it would have said shemen zayis kosis zoch. From the fact that the word zoch is between zayis and kosis, is mashma that al pi pastos haksuvim. According to the simple understanding of the pasuk, the zoch goes on the zayis, and the zayis has to be a quality olive. And this is what he says weiter. Mikivan shenem Hashem and zayis zoch kosis. Tzadik lefashay. Therefore, we have to come to the understanding, at least at this point in time, Kepirush Eben Ezra, as the Eben Ezra actually explains, the zach koyal zayis, that zach is also, just like kosis is going on the zayis, also zach is going on the zayis on the olive. Tainusha zayis tzadik liyaz zach. The kosis, the olive has to be two things. Number one, it has to be pure, meaning to say it has to be of a good quality, and also it has to be crushed. What does it mean it has to be good quality? Shetzarech likach hagargarim she'ein ben ipush. You have to take the olives that are not spoiled, are not moldy or spoiled. Or the olives that are not yet munched on or bitten on by animals or birds. And this is how you make oil that's fit for a king. So that's what the Eben Ezra teaches. And that's how I would have teached based on the pastos haksuvim from the way the word zach is positioned between zayis and kosis. And this is what Rashi is coming to eliminate. By saying the words that zach means without sediments. He's not coming to explain the word zach. Which, as we mentioned earlier, is self understood. To say that the word zach is going on the shemen and not on the zayis. Despite the hardship, the difficulty in this pirush, because it says shemen zayis zach kosis and not shemen. And zayis kosis zach. Nevertheless, the Rashi holds that zach goes on the shemen. And that's why Rashi says to say b'lishmarim, not to explain to me what zach means, because that I could have figured out on my own, but to tell me that we're talking about the purity of the oil, the shlilas taruv shmarim, to talk on a little bit again, the shemen, to exclude the mixture of sediments is only possible by the oil. And obviously not in regards to the olive. In other words, regardless of what quality the olive is, there could still be or not be sediments in the oil. If you say without sediments, it means that you're talking about the quality of the oil. And Rashi wants to disagree with the Eben Ezra or with the Pashto Saksuvim and tell us that when it says Zach, it means that the oil has to be Zach, it has to be pure and clean. And this answers question one of what's the chiddush of Rashi. Why Rashi has to tell it to us? Because now there's a big chiddush that Rashi is coming to disagree, so to speak, with the Eben Ezra and with the Pashas Ksuvim. It also answers question base. Why by Levena Zaka there's no beer? Because Zaka by itself doesn't need a beer. Zaka is something that's moving meyatzma. Everyone knows what Zach means. Only over here where there's another way to understand it that Rashi wants to eliminate, does he need to explain what Zach means. But over there, that there's no other way to understand it, there's no reason for Rashi to explain it. Now, what's Taka Rashi's proof? If the Pashtos HaKsuvim is mashma, that Zach goes on the Zayis, where does Rashi get it from that the Zach is going on the Shemen? This is what he brings from Ois Gimel. B'chdei lechiach the teva zach goy ala shemen v'lei ala zayis. Avshadecha kukunal, and to prove that zach goes on the oil and not on the olive, even though we said earlier it's a doichak, it's difficult to explain it this way. Ma'itik Rashi minakos of gam teva z'vatat tzaveh. This is why Rashi brings in his Dibur HaMaschil from the Pasuk the words v'atat tzaveh. V'abiyur, hatzivu idu v'yatat tzaveh geymar. This commandment that you should command the Yidden and they should bring to you oil. This was told to Moshe Rabbeinu when the Yidden were in the desert. A place that there are no olive trees growing in the desert. Therefore, we must say that they lit the menorah with oil that they brought with them from Mitzrayim, Shari'ef Shaloimar, Shalokhu Yimoim Zaysim, Lachol Meshach Azman, the Kachim Amidbar. It's impossible to say that they brought olives with them and then they crushed them for 39 years in the Midbar, they were crushing olives. They were spoiled. The olives are not going to last for a very long time. So clearly they didn't take olives with them for the sake of making oil out of it. So what did they light the menorah with? They lit the menorah with oil that they brought with them from Mitzrayim. And this is a proof. The aim of and the Rebbe brings in the other 13 to sort of as a proof to the fact that they used oil that they brought with them from Mitzrayim, because it says in the pasuk, this is the truma that you should take from them, and one of those things is Shemen Lamoir. Later it says the Nesiim brought the Shemen Lamoir. He view doesn't say asu, doesn't say they made it, doesn't say they prepared it, says they brought it. Implying that the only thing that they did to it was bring it because they already had it from Mitzrayim. Umizeh hechacha, and this is the proof. That we're not explaining here that the zayis of the olive is zach, but we're talking about the shemen being zach. Da reba shemen sheiviu imoem eif shelahakir imba mizayis or yonechol ktsas or yafilu imayam upash. If you're looking at oil, ready-made oil that came from Mitzrayim, you can't tell what kind of olives it was made from. If it was made from olives that had been eaten a little bit by the birds or by the animals, or even if the olives were a little rotten, you can't see that in the oil. So if we're dealing with oil that, if it's va'atat tzaveh in the midbar, and therefore we're dealing with oil that's in the midbar, clearly we can't be talking about the zayis, because there's no way to know which oil is coming from which zayis. Avala pirusha shemen tzarich liyizach belish modim harizanikir ba shemen. But if you say that shemen means, if zach means the shemen, the oil, which means without sediments, that you could see, you look at it, you see if it has sediments or not. So hayes that we're talking about v'lochi ma'itik Rashi gam testeves v'atat tzaveh, and that's where Rashi brings the words v'atat tzaveh. Haynu atzivu yalasiyas Hashem namavur parasha, the commandment for making oil, which is discussed in this parsha. Umikivan shakaros baruch hu amar b'meisha shi'itzavas b'nei Yisrael b'amidbar l'kachas Hashem z'ayizach. And since the Yavishter commanded Moshe that he should command the Yidden in the midbar to take Shemen Zayizach, Muchrach Lefarish, Hashem and Sarach Liyazach, V'Leyazayizach Niskelel. So therefore we must say that we're talking about oil, that Zach, because that's the only thing that they were able to procure in the Midbar. There was no way to get oil from good Zaysim, because we have no idea where the Shemen came from. And this answers the first part of question Zion, which was, why does Dashi bring the words Vata Tetzave? What proof do you have from the words Vata Tetzave that we're talking about B'li Shmarim? This answers the question. Vata Tetzave is telling us that the oil came, that the commandment came in the Midbar. And if the commandment came in the Midbar, clearly we're talking about something that you could decipher, something that you could figure out in the Midbar. And the only thing you can know about the oil is whether it has Shmarim or not. You cannot know about the oil if it has from which Zayas it came from. And we're going to answer something, we're going to add a detail to this. The Talmud Memulach is here once again, the seasoned student, the one who takes things a step further, and he's going to say, it's better to be able to explain the pasuk according to its simple understanding, its basic understanding, the teva zoch koyal azayis, that the word zoch is referring to the zayis. The question that we have on this, that it says va'ata tetzava. Vata tzava means right away. Vata tzava means that it was in the midbar, and in the midbar there's no way to know what kind of oil we're talking about. Yes, the taretz, that we have an answer to that. At least not an easy answer, but at least an answer. The prat achiyuv zayizoch ein ne'elok shavei l'Eretz Yisrael. That the detail of zoch was taka not applicable in the midbar because it was impossible. It was applicable when they came to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Zeis Shemen. It's a land that is full of olive trees. And over there they would be able to get good olives. And that's why the Abishah says, that when you get there, it's Yisrael, and you're able to procure olives, good olives, then you should make Shemen Zayizach, oil from good olives. Ubamidbar she'ein klal zayis. And in the Midbar, where there's no olives at all, ein makom litnai she'yia zayizach, hidliku shemen zayistam. And over there, there's no way, you can't force them to get good olives. So they use regular olives, meaning to say it was still good oil. In other words, it was still a special oil because it was B'li Shmarim, but it wasn't the real Shemen Zayizach without using good Zaysim, because they were in the Midbar, they had no choice. But in Eretz Yisrael, that's when they're going to use the real Shemen Zayizach. So the Talmud Mulach is going to ask a question, rather than teaching the pasuk in a far-fetched way, that the Zayiz, that the Zach goes on the Shemen because of the words Vata Tetzaveh. Let's say that the pasuk with Pashtus, that Zach goes on the Zayiz, and it's just that it wasn't applicable in the Midbar. So gam zemavur bezeshemaita grashi teves vata tetzava. So the Rebbe says that this is also being answered with the words vata tetzava. Not only are we answering b'chlal that we know the emphasis is on the oil because this was in the midbar and they didn't have olives, but you can't even say that we're talking about later, because as soon as you hear, as you see the words vata tetzava, shemirumus bezeh ain't sav elomiyad uladeres. In the word tetzave, we have a limud from in the beginning of Parashas Tzav, where Rashi brings that the word tzav means miyad uladeiris. It means that it's a commandment for right away and for the future generations. So that means umuchach shetzivri zechol miyad gam biyesim amidbar. So from the fact that it says v'at tetzave and not another terminology of commandment or telling the Yidden what to do, the fact that it says v'yata tetzaveh is mashma that it's miyad, even in the midbar. Umikivan, as we go, so then we go back to where we came from. Mikivan sheyav shelemar sheyadu la'avchin et Hashem and ushozeisim zakim kenal. Since it's impossible to know which oil is coming from good olives, akachasaruch lemar shezach koi al Hashem, and therefore we must say that the zach refers to the shemen. So in other words, so basically, Rashi's explanation to us is that zach means belishmarim. In other words, he wants to tell us that the word zach in the pasuk is talking about the shemen, that the oil has to be of good quality, not the olives have to be of good quality. And his proof is from the words v'yata tetzava, because the Eibishter was telling Moshe to command this to the Yidden in the midbar, and dafke for the time they're in the midbar miyad uledeiris, and for later on as well. And since in the midbar there was no way to get oil that which you could tell which olives it came from, clearly the only way to explain shemen zai zach is that the zach goes on the shemen. Very good. We still have a question. The next question is going to be, maybe the Yidden in Mitzrayim made olive oil from good olives, just like they brought oil with them, which means that they knew they're going to need oil for the Beis Hamikdash, for the Mishkan. Maybe they also knew that they need oil from Zaysim Zakim, from good Zaysim, from good olives. And maybe it's possible that the oil that they had in the Midbar was oil that was made in Mitzrayim from good olives. Aval adayin ein zeichach ha-gmura. So we still do not have a complete proof. We could still try to sort of explain it, even though it's not smooth, but at least explain it in some sort of way. Just like we must say that the Yidden knew that they're going to be commanded to prepare oil for the Menorah. In general, therefore they took from Mitzrayim oil, even though the pasuk says that they didn't even take food for the way. So they were rushing. Nevertheless, they made time to take oil because they must have known how important the oil would be. Maybe let's say that they also knew that they need to have oil from good olives. And therefore, when they went out of Mitzrayim, they took oil from that was made from olives that were not eaten or rotten. So, in other words, maybe it's still possible, even in the midbar, to have zeisim, to have shemen zayi zach, and the zach means from the olives. In Ha'ara 20, the Rebbe points out that that Rashi, in our parasha, Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu saw Beruach HaKadosh, that they're going to need wood. So he planted cedar trees, and then he told his sons that when they leave Mitzrayim, they should take with them the trees, the wood, the lumber, so to be able to have Asay Shittim to build the Mishkan. And from the Rashi, his master, that's really the only thing that they knew about in advance. So that might answer this question. But then again, in the Ha'ara, he brings from the Gemara in Yuma that some of the things the Yidden bought from passing Gentile merchants, traveling merchants that were traveling through the Midbar as well, and they were able to buy certain things from them. So it's possible that they bought olives from them as well. So in other words, maybe there's still a way to find, even if it's not so glottic, it's not so smooth, maybe there's a way to find, to explain that they did make oil from good olives in the Midbar. Either that they brought it with them from Mitzrayim ready-made, or that they picked up some olives from the merchants along the way. So maybe we could still fit it in. And that's why Rashi doesn't suffice with Viata Tetzave. That was what we said in the question Zayin, the second detail. We asked, well, if we have a raya from Da'at of the tzava. Why do we need the raya from an achais? We still have, because we still have a question. Even with the raya from the tzava, we still have a question. Maybe there was still a way that they were able to get shemen, zayis, from good zaysim in the midbar. And therefore, Rashi brings another raya from the Gemara in Menachais, where it says over there, the megargere b'resha zayis. The fipi d'shev and ezra, da zayis sarach liyizach, and we're going to explain how it's a raya. According to the Ebn Ezra, that the olive has to be zach, we're talking about the olive has to be a good quality olive. So gargirim, which means gargirim shein ben ipush, eishele nechla miktsasam, olives have no mold on them, no, it's not spoiled, and we're not eaten, bozeh, ein adifus lag zesim agdelim bereshal ilan. There's no preference to the olives that are growing on the top of the tree. Legabe shara zesim with regards to compared to any other olives. The adraba, bereisha ilum mitzuyim yeser efes eichlim in azesim. On the top of the tree, there's birds that are going to peck at the zesim, at the olives. Valpiza, if we're trying to get good olives, untouched, fresh olives, Odiv tvei lakachas min azesim, hagedelim bi emtsa ubetecha ilan. It would be preferable to take the olives that grow in the middle of the tree, lemayla mitvizas the adam, higher than a human hand could reach, so it wasn't touched by people, ulamata mereisha ilan, and lower than the top of the tree, shayfis regilim sham, where the birds are. So if our goal was to get good olives, then we would not need to go to the top of the tree. And since it says in Menachos that you will pick the olives from the top of the olive tree, muchach, this is a proof to the Fiyah Gemara that according to the Gemara, zach koi al shemen v'le al zayis, that the zach is referring to the oil and not to the olive. And therefore you go to the top of the tree to collect it, to pick the olive. The olive, that's the oil that comes out of the olives on the top of the tree. They are very ripe. The olives are very ripe. And therefore it's very easy to crush the olive and get the oil out without the shmarim. And clearly it doesn't matter to us of what quality the olives are, because we're picking it from the top of the tree where the birds are. Maybe if the sun shines on them, they dry out quicker, or it begins to mold. I don't know about that detail, but in general, the fact that we're going to the top of the tree means we're not going for the best looking olives, we're going for the olives that give the best oil. Now we've answered question three, question Gimel, which was why does Rashi have to bring a raya from Menachos? There's no need for a raya at all. We do need a raya from Menachos, because Rashi is trying to bring a raya to the fact that we're using zach to mean zach of the shemen, and we still wanted to kvetch ein. We still wanted to squeeze. Not word in squeeze, really. We wanted to push this pshat that shemen means, that zach means shemen, so therefore we need to bring, zach means zesim, on the zesim, therefore we need this raya from the Gemara Menachos. It also answers question five of why Rashi quotes the words megargir bereisha zayis and not the words ketesh machteshes, because here the real raya is from the words bereisha zayis. The real raya that Rashi is bringing is from the fact that we're picking the olives from the top of the tree. That proves that we're going for the olives that give the best oil and not for the olives that look the best. Now, we also asked the question, why does Rashi say b'menachos? So here he says something very, very beautiful. Umeisiv Rashi b'menachos. Lishleil teras kayanim. Rashi brings the source in Menachos to eliminate, to exclude the source of teras kayanim. See, in teras kayanim, it brings the same idea about the zayis. But the way it's written there is megargere bereisha zayis. You pick it from the top of the tree, v'toicha nebereichayim, and you grind it in a mill. And he brings it once and twice, and later on, he brings also the day of Rabbi Yehuda that you crush it. So now, in order for us to bring a raya that the oil did not have shmarim, you can't say that it was ground up in a mill, because when you grind the olive, then the peels and the sediments get mixed in. So in order to exclude the pshat, the daya, the opinion that it was ground up in a mill, Rashi focuses on the Gemara Menachos, which in the Mishnah and Menachos, it only brings the Kaitesh that it was crushed and does not bring the Rechayim. So this continues to prove Rashi's point that Zach means Belishmarim. Kisham uva gamma de Tanakamish techne berechayim. In Teiras Kenim, his brother, Deir Tanakama, that it's ground up in a mill. Menachos nimtza deir zurak begemara. Menachos, this day is in the Gemara, not in the Mishnah. The Rashi kan mamshach ve'einu teichlan berechaim. Rashi here is trying to emphasize that we're not grinding it in the mill, and therefore Rashi mentions Menachos, where the emphasis there is on the fact that it is crushed and not ground. And he explains a little bit more why in Emor, in the Rashi and Parshas Emor, he does bring Menachos and Teiras Keanim. And he says like this: Here we're talking about in story style. We're telling the story about the building of the Mishkan. And after that comes the Parsha and Parshas Tzav. About and then Shmini, about how the Mishkan was dedicated. This whole dedication, the building of the Mishkan, and the dedication of the Mishkan was with great grandiose, ubashirus, and with wealth. The whole time that they were in the Midbar, they were in a wealthy state. So therefore, since they were doing things in a grand way and in a wealthy way, clearly they were using the best possible oil, which is the oil which is Bli Shmarim. And they were doing it by crushing it and taking out that first bit of oil that comes after the crushing, and now it's in the second stage, which is after the grinding. But in Parshas Emor, he's not telling a story. He's not focusing on exactly how it was. Parshas Emor, the emphasis is the halachas, the dinim, of what has to be done. Lachain, therefore, kan pirish Rashi kifishaya bepeil, b'midbar. Here Rashi is talking about how it was in the midbar, in actuality, that it was belish marim. With Parshas Emor, alpidin, and in Parshas Emor, Rashi is talking al pidin. He's talking about how what the dinim are, what the halachas are with regards to preparing the oil. And therefore Rashi has to mention teiras keanim as well, because if we're talking halacha, you have to bring the various sources that discuss the halachas of this preparation. And therefore Rashi also mentions the fact that there was three oils, because Rashi is not discussing the actual story, how it happened. Rashi is introducing the whole process of making olive oil for the menorah according to halacha. And therefore Rashi brings the process that there's three types of oils. Rashi brings the teiras keanim because there was a day that it was crushed, there was a day that it was ground. Over there Rashi is more intent on giving us as many details as possible, because he's bringing in the halachas. In our Rashi is telling us what was that it was Bli Shmarim. Because they were wealthy, and they were able to use the best possible oil, and B, we're talking about the ultimate understanding of Zach, is that Zach is going on the Shemen, but the Shemen has to be the best possible Shemen, meaning Bli Shmarim. Now the only question that went unanswered so far is question Dalit, which was why does Rashi bring a raya, or how does Rashi bring a raya in halacha, in Pshutei Shel Mikra, from halacha? So that gets answered in the other 21. In the other 21, he makes 2 points. Number one, even though we're referring to the Gemara, but we're not referring to the Chelek Halacha in the Gemara. We're referring into how the Gemara understands the Pasuk. So the Gemara there is talking about how to understand the Pasuk, and therefore Rashi could use that as a Raya to how to understand the Pasuk as well. More importantly, or not more importantly, but Befrat, especially, since the whole Gemara in Menachos is only an extra Raya to the Atat Tzaveh, to answer the Doichak that we wanted to bring. So therefore it doesn't matter so much that we're learning, even if we are learning a Raya from Gemara, from Halacha, it's not such a big deal, because our main Raya is from the Atat Tzaveh, which is in Pshutei Shel Mikra. Now in Eis Vav, we're going to go me'ayinyonim ha'mufloim al dvar halacha shepirish Rashi Dilon. Something that we're going to apply, this machlekes Rashi and Eben Ezra, to a inyan in halacha. A relevance from this machlekes to inyan in halacha. Pasuk Rambam, the Rambam Paskins. Nemar b'teira v'hevel chulu u'mechel ben chulu. Teira says that Hevel brought from the best of his animals, and the Eibishter, it says the Yishai al Hevel, the Eibishter accepted, turned to Hevel, the Eibishter accepted Hevel's gift. And the Rambam learns from this, called Davar Shul Hashem, okay, Latev, everything that's for the Eibishter, Shayyim in Anoav, Latev, it should be beautiful and it should be good. In Bona Beis Tfilo, Yanami Beis Yeshivasa, if he builds a shul, it should be nicer than the house that he dwells in. Ha'achil Raiv, if he's feeding a poor person, he should give him the best kind of food. Kisa Adam, if he's giving a person who doesn't have clothing, should be from the best possible clothing. Hiktish Davar, if he's giving something to Hektish, if he's dedicating something to the Beis Hamikdash, it should be from the best possible things, the best possible quality. V'cheinu Emer, as the Pasuk says, Kol Chelev La'avaya, Kol Chelev, the fat, the best of the best, should go to the Eibishter. V'tzarech Bir, so we have to clarify. Does this obligation of giving the best to Hashem apply even when I'm preparing the thing that I'm ultimately going to give to the Eibishter? Ula Dugma, for example. Am I obligated to take the best possible wool if I am sewing a garment for a poor person, which is basically a gift that I'm giving to Hashem? Do I have to use in the preparation of the beged, of the making of the beged, the best possible tzemer, the best possible wool? It could be seen in two ways. It's two levels of logic here. Aleph achiv the kochel of Hashem chol beis hanesina. That the chiyu kachel of Hashem is when you're giving it, then it's becoming Hashem's. Then it's la Hashem, then it's becoming Hashem's. And therefore you have to give the best, the most beautiful, that you have. Beis chiyu zechol gam kedem anasino. This obligation applies even before you're giving it. Take it from Yad Shemachli B'daitei Shesof Safiyah LaHashem. As soon as he decides that ultimately this is going to belong to Hashem, Gam Be'eis Achonas Vasiyas Adovar L'Shem Okel Atev. Even when you're preparing it, L'Shem, for the sake of, meaning to say even before it's actually being given to Hashem, but it's for the sake of Hashem, Tzarech Li Elifchem Enanav Atev. You have to already choose from the best and from the most beautiful. And within this, we can also see this in two ways. One, rakish and nikir, ilu beis anesina, that only, it only matters if you could actually see the difference, the advantage, the quality, when you're giving it. Even if you can't tell when you're giving it, which one, that the quality that the material it was made with was the best possible material, still you have to make it from the best material, because you're doing it for the sake of Hashem. So the question is, how do I look at it? Do I say that what matters is when I give it, or that what matters is when I'm even when I'm preparing it? The hine. So we have this question. We're going to answer this question based on the two approaches of the Eben Ezra and Rashi. According to the Eben Ezra, that Zach goes on the olive. Yesh little limitations that we could learn from this din, that you have to use the best olives. The gambei sachanes vasiyas adavar l'shem akelatev. Even when you are preparing, making something for the Eibishter, for the sake of the akelatev of the Eibishter, so the chlias bin amuvchar, it has to be from the best. The Torah insisted that the olives which you are crushing for the sake of making oil for the menorah, you should be pure and the best of best quality. This teaches us that this obligation begins even from the preparation, when you even before you've made the oil. Even if you won't see the advantage of it, the quality of it, when you're giving it to Hashem, because when you give the oil to Hashem, you can't see what kind of olives this was made from. Nevertheless, the Eben Ezra holds that you have to use good olives, implying that when you're preparing something for Hashem, it has to be from the best possible materials. That would be the Eben Ezra's approach. But according to Rashi, that Zach goes on the oil. We see that Torah does not insist on the preparation time, that it should be for the best quality. The most important part is when you're giving it to Hashem, when you're actually using the oil, no, it has to be from the best. So sometimes we reach high. We wanna that even the preparation should be, even when we're preparing ourselves, it should be from the best possible material. Comes Rashi and says, no, the most important thing is what happens at the end. When you're handing this over to Hashem, when you're doing the mitzvah with it, it should be of the best possible material. But how you got there, what the steps were before you got there, what the process was getting there, that doesn't matter as much. That's how we would understand Rashi. In order 25, he brings that in the case that when you're giving it to Hashem, it would ultimately be better because the preparation was done with better material, we're still not clear if Rashi would demand of us that we should use better material because then the actual gift is on a higher level, or we would not focus on that because as long as we're giving something beautiful to Hashem at the time of the gift, that is still considered kechelev laHashem. It's not, and the Ha'arah does not come to a conclusion on that. Okay. And now from Eizayin, with Eizayin, we're going to go to the Chassidus. Also going to have two approaches, the approach of Rashi and the approach of the Eben Ezra. And just to give a brief introduction, there's two ways of looking at the Zayas. The Zayas is bitter. Bitterness is compared to darkness. Bitterness meaning something that we don't like. We don't like something that's bitter. So bitterness is going to be compared to darkness. There's two ways of looking at the Zayas, and there's two ways of looking at darkness. One way of looking at the Zayas, which is the basic approach, is that the Zayas is lower than the Shemen. The Shemen is the important thing, and the Zayas is only the vessel that holds the Shemen. And therefore, in order to get to the Shemen, we have to crush the Zayas to get to the Shemen. And that's why we call the Zayas bitter, because it's in the way of the Shemen. It's in the way, it's getting in the way of us getting to what we actually want, which is the oil. The other way of looking at the Zayas is that the Zayas is higher than the Shemen. It's the source of the Shemen. It's where the Shemen comes from. And in Chassidus, we're going to say that if the Shemen is Chachma, then the Zayas is the source of the Chachma, which is such a lofty level that it's beyond revelation. And that's why it's bitter, which, as we said, bitterness is a parallel to darkness. Darkness not as a chisaron, as a lack. Darkness in this case is actually a maila, is actually an advantage, is actually a something unique. Because the darkness refers to the fact that it's so light, that it's so high that it's beyond revelation. And now let's follow that in the text of the Sicha. Before, Chassidus sheyes beis b'chinas b'zayis. Chassidus explains that there's two levels in the Zayis. Aleph. The first level is a Zayis, lefi pashtus and yonai. On a basic level, shamirirus shaboi, that the bitterness, and we bring the Maimer Azal, Amra Yayna, Yiyum is a Naisai Merudin Kizayis, it says that when Noach sent out the dove from the Teva, Vihine Ali Zayis Taraf Befiah, there was a leaf of a olive branch of an olive tree in the mouth of the dove. So the Gemara says, Befia in the mouth, she was saying something. There was a message. Her message was, I'd rather my food be bitter like an olive, but come from Hashem, than it be sweet like honey, and come from a human being. So we see that Zayis, even in Chazal, represents bitterness. So what is the bitterness of the olive? Meire abchines ha-chashaycha v'amriru de sitra achra. It represents the darkness and the bitterness of Sitra Achra, of the klipa, of the forces of negativity. Therefore we find in another Gemara that olives can cause a person to forget 70 years of learning. Because forgetfulness comes from the world of klipa. And therefore, since olives represent klipos, olives can cause forgetfulness. So on a basic level, the olive is something less than desirable because it represents klipa. And on this level, only by crushing the olive, which is by breaking the sitra achra, that's how you reveal the oil, how you reveal the level of chachma, which is the bitl to elukus. How do I reveal the connection that I have to elukus, my bitl to elukus? It's by crushing my olive, meaning by crushing my nefesh abamis. That's one way of looking at it. Beis, zayis lefi pnimius inyanei. Zayis on a deeper level. It's not the getting in the way of the oil that has to be crushed, but rather it's hamoker shemimena nimshach hashemen. It's the source of the oil. V'hainu shehamirirus hacheshech sheboi he adds the darkness of the olive, meaning the bitterness of the olive, represents the highest level. Sfiras hakesed shelamayla adayim v'yad v'gili, which is higher than revelation. Chachma Shemen. Chachma and Shemen represents the revelation. Because it's the beginning of Seder Eshtalshlutz. It's when the levels begin to come in a form that we can access it in some level or another. The olive is the source of that. Before revelation becomes possible. And that's why it represents darkness, not as a something that is low, but as something that is so high that it's beyond, a revelation. And that's what it says in Chassidus, that is the meaning of the words, the Eibishter chooses to conceal himself in darkness. That it's the highest level, it's a high level of elukus, and it's called darkness. It is removed and is above from any form of light that is being revealed. So on the one end, we could say Zayis on a basic level is that it's a low thing, and that's why it's bitter, and therefore it gets in the way of us reaching our oil, and therefore we have to crush it and break it in order to reach the oil, just like we have to break our Yenefesh Abamis and break the Sitra Achra in order to reach Shemen and Chachma, which is Bitul Telekus. And the other way is that the Zayis represents, on the deepest most level, it represents the source of the oil, it represents the source of the Chachma and the Shemen, which means, and the reason why it's bitter is because it's such a high level that it's beyond revelation. Now let's apply that to the Pirush of Eben Ezra and the Pirush of Rashi. The Eben Ezra is more of a mefirush that explains things al pi pashtus on the basic level. And as we just explained, the Zayis on a basic level is the darkness, the bitterness of it is because of the involvement of Klipa V'Sitra Achra. And that's why, according to the Ibn Ezra, you have to be very careful in choosing the olive. In order to be able to extract the oil from it by crushing it. In other words, shazayis atzmit zarechli yizach. Even the zayis has to be on a level of zach. Only then is it fitting to be transformed into a vessel for godliness. In other words, if a person has to break their nefesh abamis in order to reach a bittul telekus, the nefesh abamis at least has to be on some sort of level in order for it to be transformed telekus. If the nefesh abamis is rotten to the core, then there's no way, even through ksisha, even through crushing it, to be able to turn it into a bittul telekus. So therefore, the Ibn Ezra is focusing on the olive, because in order to turn an olive into oil, meaning to say, in order to break a nefesh abamis and make it a kli telekus, at least the nefesh abamis has to be on some level to be able to turn it around. But Rashi, even though we say Rashi is mefaras to the Ben Chamish Lemikra, but Rashi is also the Yena Shel Teira. Rashi also is going into the deepest most parts of Teira. Mu'arim beremes al kolponim onyan lefi pnimi yusum, and therefore Rashi's pirush, Rashi illuminates the concepts at least beremes as they are in their on their inner level and their true level. The deepest, most concept of the Zayis, of the olive, is the fact of Yashus Cheshech Sisrei. It is higher than the light that has a connection to the worlds. It is the ultimate holiness and bittul. That's what the Zayis is. It's the loftiest level. And therefore, according to Rashi, there's no need to be careful and to choose to specify the best kind of Zayis, because the Zayis is beyond us. The Zayis represents the highest, most levels. We can't pick and choose. We can't affect it. We can't change it. So it doesn't matter what kind of Zayis we're dealing with. The only thing we could affect, the only thing we can make a difference in, is the oil that's being extracted from the Zayis, which represents the Hamshacha, the drawing it down into Chachma, which is the first time the Chachma Da'atzilus is the first time the revelation is the beginning of revelation. The Yeshla Shaychas La'ilavus is already connected to the order of all the worlds. Therefore, over here, you have to be careful, since the Olamis are getting involved, and in the Olamis, there's always a little bit of Ra that gets mixed in, sometimes a lot of Ra, but even in Atzilus, is Le'yagurcha Ra, but there's still not 100%, and Bria for sure, you're dealing with a Ma'at Rubei Toiv, with Ma'at Ra over there, so there's a little bit of Ra there. And therefore, you have to be very careful about the oil, that it shouldn't be influenced by the Ra, and it should stay pure. Zach, it has to be pure. So therefore, Rashi says we focus on the oil, because the Zayis is beyond us. We have to make sure is that the oil, which is the Chachma, as it comes down into Seder Ishtashlus, that it remains pure and bottle telekus. So if we look at these two pshatim in the Zayis, the Ibn Ezra is focusing on a basic level. The Ibn Ezra is telling us that basically, if you want to overcome the struggles that you have with your guf and nefesh abamis, you have to have iskafya. You have to break your guf. You have to break your tithes in order to be able to extract a bittul telekus. But therefore, you have to, if you're dealing with it, you have to at least be on a level that if we try to break you, or if you try to break yourself, I should say, that there's something to work with. And therefore he focuses on the Zayis, which is the Guf and Nefesh Abamis. Rashi is taking us on a totally deeper, a deeper level, where he's saying, don't focus on the source of it, because that's beyond you. Focus on your Chachma. Make sure that your Chachma is pure, that even though it's Chachma, which is already the beginning of the revelation, nevertheless, being that it's involved in the Olamos, it might be influenced by the Olamos. Therefore, he says, the Shemen has to be Zach, meaning to say that you have to work on your Chachma, that your Chachma should not be influenced by the worlds that it's in, but it should stay pure, which Chachma is Bittul, so the Bittul Telekush should remain pure, and that's what it means, Shemen Zayis Zach.